Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Doctor's Orders Show.
What up, what up, what up?
Hello.
How's everybody doing?
Great.
We missed you last time, Tasha, so welcome back.
Thank you very much. I am here.
How are you doing?
I'm great. You know, things are going really good, you know, so yeah. I can't complain. Blessed.
Mr. Dr. Sean.
You know, I'm a little salty. My vacation will be over in about 2 more days.
That's seasoning, y'all.
I'm kind of feeling some kind of way about it because summer went kind of fast for me, but it's okay.
Yeah, because I saw your post. You were a little salty about people not giving teachers.
You know, man, look, that is the most annoying thing ever. If I came on your vacation and I start talking about when you got to go back, you're going to be mad at me. Am I correct?
Yeah,
it's going to get on your nerves. So, I mean, the same thing happens with us. That's annoying.
He
said that with his chest.
Yeah, said it with his chest.
With my chest.
And he wrote it.
With his chest.
He wrote it with his chest. I was reading. I was like, oh, my bad. Mm-hmm. Welcome back to work.
I don't start till Monday. I still got 2 more days.
No, you already started. When you defend it, you already started.
Yeah, kind of sort of. You're right.
Yeah. I've had a really, you know what, 2019 has been a very emotional, challenging week, a year for me already. Mm-hmm. So we're in the month of one of my best friends. Her son passed away in February. This is his birthday month.
Oh, wow.
My coworker just lost her son. My friend just lost her little cousin the other night. So it's just a lot emotionally going on. But I'm grateful because I realize that everything I've been building up to has been actually prepping me to be in these moments. So I feel really good. Happy to have everybody here. We ask you to go ahead and share the show right now. Invite some people. I think we got some good stuff. I wanted to start us off because I posted a poll last week or the week before. Mm-hmm. So I'm out eating tacos, right? And it just happened to be a fancy taco place. So I'm able to go to a bar. Yeah, Torchy's. Don't want to give them all the credit.
How is that fancy? Okay, finish the story.
Because they have a bar at this one, like a full bar, like a real one.
Okay. Proceed.
I'm not a fan of Torchy's, but
I'm not at all.
I wasn't a fan of chicken tacos until Torchy's. I don't eat any other taco from them.
Mm-hmm. Finish the story. Proceed.
So I'm going to the bar to look at what they have as beverages because I'm in awe, you know. So I'm there, and women, you know, I love us, and I love when we love our men. So this man is walking to the bar. He has a T-shirt on that has a funny saying on it. I read it. I can't even tell you what it said right now because as soon as I read it, I was about to say, I love your T-shirt, but I felt something staring
at
me.
You felt that heat.
Across the room.
That was that heat.
Oh, my God. And that just happened. Like, soon as I saw it, I smiled. And he looks at me, and he kind of starts shaking his head. And then my eyes just shift over to the eyes directly, diagonally behind him. She has to be about 25 feet away from me. But I can feel her. Mm-hmm. I feel her. That girl is staring at me like, say something.
Wow.
I wish you would.
So
I would have said something just because she stared at me like that, bitch.
Well, you know what? Well, he puts in, he asked to get the menu because I think everyone's appalled that this they have a full bar.
Right.
He takes it back to the table. She says something to him, and she looks at me when she's saying it to him.
You know her?
She might as well clap while she's talking.
That slow clap.
Tell her. And he walks back, and he will not lift his eyes or his head thine way.
That is hilarious.
And so it caused me to wonder, like, I wasn't saying he was cute, but I liked his T-shirt. I don't even remember what he looked like. Mm-hmm. But I wonder, as women, do we really, would you be offended if someone actually just complimented your spouse? Like, it was his freaking T-shirt. It was funny. And if you didn't want nobody laughing, why would you allow him to wear it?
What did the shirt say?
I can't remember. I can't remember. But that's
not helping your cause much.
The thing is, we wear shirts all the time that say these funny sayings. And I got the saying. And I just can't remember what it was, because at that point, I started making this post for y'all. But my issue was, why would you be offended? Even if he was handsome, even if a woman was looking at him.
Well,
I think maybe she might be insecure. Maybe she's... Was he a handsome guy?
He probably was, but he was cleaned up.
Real nice.
You know? Okay. He had a cute t-shirt on. Like, I just saw the t-shirt, and I think
it could be a couple of different things. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe she had some problems with him before. I wouldn't be surprised if
it was about four small humans over there. So she's that was manning the baby down. Mama.
Chick-a-Zee, I feel you, dog. Look, here's the thing. I think at the end of the day, he probably did something that made her that insecure.
Feel that way, yeah. Because now she's looking at everybody around her.
Right.
I wanted to walk in out the door, just still stop by and say, I was going to tell him I liked his t-shirt.
I still would have told him, just because the bitch was looking at me crazy.
But I just didn't feel like, I didn't feel like it. Her slow neck is trash. Shut up, Chick-a-Zee. Dr. Ken, I am so sorry. You are missed, because I can only imagine what he would be saying right now.
Right.
But we sending shout out to you. He's working really hard, y'all, so... Let him know y'all miss him. You can still make your comments. I'm sure he'll come on here, because he loves a good debate.
Right. He probably will join us on the feeds in a minute. He was at football practice. So.
Monica said it's a difference in flirting and complimenting. Yeah, you're right.
But some people don't recognize that.
To be quite honest, Monica, some women just have a very, no understanding at all whatsoever. Just by you saying something to them, you ruffle their feathers. Yeah. That's insecurity to me. And goddamn. I mean, you with me. Why
I wouldn't even think you would be that dumb.
I remember there was a show. Everybody remember Comic View, right? So on Comic View, there was, I forgot who the comic was, but he said he had a woman that was fine. He said my woman was fine. She's just fine. He said, and just because she's so fine, I like to let her walk out in front of me. And I let her walk a couple of feet in front of me just because I know guys are going to try to holler at her or say something or walk up to her. So I let her walk a couple of feet to play this game with him. So when they walk up to her, I'd be like, I need grab her. That's mine. You know what I'm saying? Just being petty. But at the same time, be glad that somebody's looking at your dude with your ugly ass.
And here's the thing. And usually they're so pretty, like the women. Mm-hmm. You can only imagine what has been done. I thought she was a gorgeous woman. But clearly, her eyes spoke to me from across the room. Like, I wish you would. I see you standing at the bar, woman. And he's approaching the bar, and we're at a bar where we're the minority.
He's on probation. I'm telling you, that's what that is.
Yeah.
She waiting on him to mess up because he didn't already messed up before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lash, she said, you can't make someone insecure. They just are. I disagree.
I completely disagree. I disagree.
Why? Because, think about it. When you're in a relationship with someone, everything could be going good. Let's just say that you haven't had a really bad relationship before. Maybe you're one of these youngsters running around here, 18, 19, 20, 21. You just got out there and you get into this serious relationship with someone, right? And they completely dog you out. You wasn't insecure before, but now that this person did this and this and that, instilled all of these negative things inside of you, told you you were ugly, probably was verbally abusive, you started feeling depressed, different things. Now, all of a sudden, you're feeling insecure about yourself because this person that you love, you're actually believing what he had to say.
Yeah.
So, someone can instill that. You shouldn't let it get to you, but when someone constantly tell it to you, you start looking at yourself. And when they start doing things to you and you wonder, well, why are you doing this? And then they say, hey, because you this, this, and this, and that. You start to believe them after a while.
Yeah.
As time goes, that's just part of our grooming process. It's sad that we would have to even go through something like that to even be groomed. But at the end of the day, That's just something that's part of our learning process. And yes, you can make somebody insecure by doing that. If you keep telling a child,
yep,
you're just so ugly. You're just so ugly. That is so ugly. I just don't like that. A child will believe you, and what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're going to be insecure.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important for us when raising kids or within ourselves to tell that child, you're beautiful. You're handsome. You're so intelligent. I love you. You are love. Blah, blah, blah. This is why we do this, because you can make a person insecure, period.
I was in a situation before where I was in a group of friends and dating a guy, and he is his frat friends. And so one of his frat brothers comes up and he's like, I've never met you before. And he's standing next to me. All the other women are looking like, uh-oh. And he's like, you know, we introduce ourselves. And he's like, you have a boyfriend? I said, I do. He's like, is he here? Yes, he is. You actually just hugged him. And he's like, what? I didn't know. I wasn't trying to disrespect. And I'll never forget. He was just like, I get it. I would too. Like,
I shot my shot and got in.
Hey, I get it.
Hey, that comes with the territory.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know, at the end of the day, to address this, because I saw something that Chiggers, he said that I need to address. He says self-esteem is esteem of self. I get that. But I'm going to throw this at you because I know you're a man of the word. We speak life and death.
That's right.
With the tongue.
You better say it.
Okay. So at the end of the day, you can say sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie from the pit of hell. They can't hurt you if you.
That's why a lot of people in jail right now.
Okay, exactly.
It did hurt. And let me tell you something, and to piggyback off of that, as far as words can never hurt me, what is the number one thing that can make a man flash out when it comes to a woman? Her mouth. Her fucking mouth.
Mm-hmm.
A man can punch a woman in her eye and hurt her, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if she tells him something that degrades him or tears him down, or just something as simple as, I never liked your sex anyway, because, you know what I'm saying? Or something just that would just rip him up. Yeah, that, your mouth, a woman's mouth. That's why guys say so much. The number one thing a woman can give a man is silence.
Truth. I'm not going to argue with y'all. I'm going to say this one more time. Y'all didn't start where you are, because y'all keep coming with you got to master your emotions and you got to do this. Look, I get that. You are absolutely correct. You do. We do that when we mature.
You grow.
You grow into that. Most times, that's not where people start. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I get what you're saying. We need to have high self-esteem and all that. But in dealing with this, back to the subject at hand, when you're dealing with somebody that's attractive, it comes with the territory that somebody's going to always be shooting at them. That's just,
oh yeah,
that just comes back to it.
Most definitely.
I think that, and I want to go back. I don't think that it's not necessarily the words don't. Because here's the thing. I was thinking about this. My grandmother raised me, and there are a lot of stories about her that are very true. She was very clear. My grandmother, black and white. She still don't do it because she in my head all the time, but she didn't do anything great. She was real clear, and she was real verbal and real cursy. You know, she didn't really use few curse words. She used all of them. Air last one of them, you know. And I think that
she had a gumbo of shit.
Let
to
me
say.
Tell you, she would say things like, unass the couch. And you may have
my
never
mama
heard
say that.
You learn.
I mean, get your ass up.
Get up. But my grandmother woke up cursing and woke up like that. For me, what that did was she toughened me up on her words.
Hey, Keon.
And her words were not necessarily that she was being mean like I thought she was up until more recently. I realized I don't deal well in the gray. I deal with this at work all the time. I don't do gray. I do black and white. I do what exactly did you need me to do? What did I? And I ask for examples because I live off of examples. Like, when you're teaching a child, you know this, in a classroom, if you tell them to do something, a lot of times you want to have an example as to what you want the end result to look like so that you are catering to all those who hear, all those who need a visual, everybody. I think for me, words don't hurt me because a lot of times when you're saying something mean, I know that something else is really backing it up. What hurts me more is when you can't get to the black and white of it, when you leave it in the gray. I don't do gray. I just had this conversation at work. We just had a meeting, and literally I had to ask her. I have 18 ladies underneath me. Well, not even underneath me, that I'm the department head. And one of them was just like, and so such and such came to me. And I was like, so when you felt that way, have I ever told you you couldn't come to me? Well, no. It's just the way you look sometimes. Because when you approach me and about something that's serious, I'm going to give a serious look because I take it seriously. It's not just you. Mm-hmm. It's everybody. Mm-hmm. But for me, on the managing side of that, taught me that I need to be more aware of maybe my look when I'm mm-hmm. listening. Mm-hmm. My listening look looks like this. What? And what happened? And when did it happen? And why? Because I'm black and white. I don't need all the other stuff. I walked in the other day and I was already, I have ADD. I don't need all that. I need straight to the point. Mm-hmm. And I think words, when I say words don't hurt me, that's literally what I mean. Who right. is saying that? Chickasee. Chickasee.
Mm. So what is, yeah. so just in dealing with that, comes right back down to what we said the topic was today.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Or I don't.
Yes.
So I'm going to throw something out at y'all that's kind of interesting that's been floating around the news. And we're going to watch the video in just a second. But somebody tweeted the other day that just like you have to renew your driver's license and your professional licenses, mm-hmm. that you should have to do the same thing with a marriage license. Let's watch this video real quick.
Now, speaking of love, I saw this tweet the other day that I really want you guys' opinion.
Oh, you've been talking about this.
I know. It was a tweet by Sani Vani, and pretty much she said that she believes marriage should be like any other state license where you have to renew it. Yeah. And I've never been married, but in my mind, I was like, sounds like a great idea. Yeah. I know you've been married before. I know you are married. I want you guys' opinion on what you would do. Would you get married again if that's the way it was,
Do
Michael?
You want to start over here? I'll start here.
Go ahead, Sarah. Yes.
My license has had a longer life. I'm just kidding. First of all, I need to know, is there a driving test with this license? Because I fail typically. But in the marriage, no, when you ask this, sorry, Michael, I'm still laughing at my joke. When you originally asked me that, I didn't realize until I read the whole thing that there was an opt-out clause, because what I thought was cool about what you were first saying was I do think there's something to renewing, to yes. recommitting, because when you look at where you were when you started a marriage, I thought I loved my husband. Now going through everything we've gone through, I look at him and we were talking about this a few weeks ago.
You don't love him anymore?
I knew you were going to do that, Michael.
I mean, the way you were phrasing it, I'm like, huh?
No, sorry. What I meant is I didn't realize how much stronger it could get in such a short time. We've been married for 5 years, but we've had 3 kids together.
Amazing.
And
God
the conversations we have, I said, if I were to commit to you again today, the things I'm working on, what I would promise would be different. Because mm-hmm. one, I know now what it looks like. And two, yes. I've changed. He's changed. So I wouldn't want the opt-out option because I don't, for me, it
so
was a
renew.
Once in a lifetime thing, but I would renew and write my own vows and what today I'm promising I'll do until my next license driving test.
Okay. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you, Michael.
So what y'all think about that? That's a little interesting to me.
I love it. I think that I wouldn't do it from the way that I'm sure she meant when they wrote it. I would do it from the way she was explaining it because everything changes. Everything, and it has to change. It's going to change. It has to change. I think that when you go through things when you're married, you look back. Things that bothered you in your 20s don't mess with you in your 30s. Things that bothered you in your 30s don't
grow.
F with you in your 40s. Like,
you grow.
They can't even touch you on those levels.
You grow.
You know, this is the thing that I'll say. I agree with what she said. But the problem is the opt-out clause.
Yeah.
So here's the problem that I have. And I was on a show Monday, and as we were prepping for the show, me and the young lady were talking, and she was talking about something that someone told her, and I put this post up. someone told her that dating, how we see it today, mm-hmm. is preparation for divorce. Why? Because when we are serial dating and when we're doing what we're doing, we give ourselves the permission to do what if we don't like it?
Leave. Mm-hmm.
To leave, to walk away. Well, the same thing or the same principle kind of comes into play with this, with the whole opt-out clause. You know, you said in those vows, for better or for worse, you know.
In the Bible, it says what God put together, no man.
Put asunder. But I mean, we choice makers too.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think when you flirt with that, that's a kind of dangerous place. I like the idea of renewing. I do like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think when you, with that whole opt-out clause is,
it's going to give too many people a chance to run faster.
Yeah. That's right. What I see with that.
I mean, because it could be hit and miss. It could be a good thing, and then it could be a bad thing. Number one, it could be a bad thing because it gives people the option to just run, and most definitely marriages won't be lasting no longer than 2 months, you know, because most people, they run at the first sign of...
Alexia, okay. She said,
we ain't opting out. That's what she said.
Right. So, on the flip side of that, as far as divorce, so would you have to divorce that person, or once the marriage license, once it's up for renewal, and if you decide that y'all want to part ways and you want to, you know, y'all don't want to renew it, it just going ahead and just that's just it. Y'all go y'all separate ways, and you are no longer on record as being married.
That is absolutely correct.
But on top of that, then what? You would have to go to court, and you got your names on everything together, and what, hash out the house and the cars and the kids and the child support, blah blah blah. It's pretty much same as what,
divorce. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I was just about to say. Like, it literally is the same. It's no difference in the process. But I feel like we don't do enough when it comes to fully understanding mm-hmm. what marriage requires. I can say that being divorced, there was probably a time I would have been like, I could have made that shit work. Mm-hmm. Because when you get out and it's a whole different, it's ugly on either side. It's hard. Mm-hmm. Let me take the word ugly. It can be ugly. But it's hard on both sides. It's hard if you stay, and it's hard if you leave. And I've had to be there on sides for friends, and I'm honest. I'm not one that's gonna sit up there and just be like, "Girl, go pack your stuff." Now let's think this through. Because going and leaving, I'm not saying you can't do it, but what I am saying is, have you tried everything else? You know what I mean? I do believe in marriage. I do believe that it can work. I don't think I would agree with a renewal process in the sense of opting for divorce. I would believe in a checkup, because I believe in checkups anyway. I believe you got to have a checkup, just like you got to get a pap smear. You need to do that stuff and check in on where y'all are to get to where you're trying to go. Mm-hmm. But I don't think you should go in thinking, yes, and if it don't work in 2 years,
so
we out.
Watch this. I'm going to throw a little wrinkle in here. So, like, as a teacher, mm-hmm. when I go renew my license as an educator, what I have to put in to prove that I have grown is my professional development hours.
Yeah.
To go in with that.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I'm getting my renewal, what if I throw in that you have to go to some type of counseling?
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. just me being messy. You know,
but that would sound good. I think, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Okay. I think that would be a good, as far as renewing a license, no, I'm not with that. But what if there is something that says that at this certain time you need to go to counseling?
I think, like, it should say that from the beginning. I don't think you should go into it without counseling.
Yeah, after every year, say at the end of every year.
Yeah.
You should, that should be a stipulation that you go to counseling.
A marriage checkup.
Right, right. I just think people should do that anyway, though. Counseling is good. I'm for counseling. I am pro counseling. I need a counselor.
I go to counseling. Let me tell you. And I don't even like, here's the thing. I don't even like counseling.
Hell, I'm being everybody else's therapist.
I don't like it, okay?
A professional.
I don't like it when I'm there. I love it when I'm done. Mm-hmm. And I love it when I'm done because I'm able to reflect and think and actually apply.
Yes, marriage classes too. I'm with that too. Marriage classes, I agree with that. You know, like that. And I think that if people... instead of the communication just being off and people just letting it be off,
yeah,
be okay with going to therapy, you know, classes, marriage classes. Don't just do that just in the beginning just because you want to get married. Oh, we're going to do this because we're about to do it. Y'all happy-go-lucky to go then. But once you're in it and you're seeing your flaws and your partner is pointing out your flaws and saying, I don't like this.
Yep.
Now all of a sudden you don't want to go. Why? Because I don't need nobody to tell me what to do or how to run my yeah. marriage. It's my house. I don't need nobody to tell yeah. me how to run my house. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? That might
kinda,
be your problem.
You kind of do. You kind of need somebody to help you.
Yeah.
Because
kinda ain't no. Actually, you need somebody from the outside
yes,
looking
unbiased.
In and
unbiased,
give someone, exactly. You know, the option to say, hey, okay, so based on what you have told me, this is what I see. Based on what you have told me, it could be an easy fix.
Yeah.
You know, and then it could be something that needs a little more work. Marriage needs work. I've never been married before, but it's not rocket science. I know when I get myself into some shit, hey. Is about to go down. I already noticed.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, you know, you why not going with your best self?
I think those commitments, I've always said it. I believe that relationships, friendships, all of them, parenting, they are mirrors and they teach you. And there's a moment where you're a student and there's a moment where you're a teacher in every single moment. You're one or the other and sometimes you're both.
True.
And I believe that until you actually start realizing that the person at the table is here for me mm-hmm. and not against me, it's not gonna work. I don't care how long you've been married. I don't care how quiet you get when you're married, how much silence is in the house. If you don't feel like the person is at that table with you, that's married to you, is actually there for you, it's never going to work. And if that person doesn't love you enough to be honest with you, it's never going to work. Your honesty can cut me any kind of way, but a jagged cut and a smooth and a clean cut heal differently. Mm-hmm. A jagged wound, when you lie to me and you try to fix it up, it's going to take forever to heal. And I may bruise for life. You know what I mean?
And that scar will always be
there. Yeah.
And that's what you did to me sitting in the back of my mind will always be there. I never stopped yes. loving you, but what you did to me will never go away. But,
I'm looking at Chickasee.
Chickasee.
I'm trying to get back to Alexia. I like what you said. Absolutely. Every 2 years, I got to prove my loyalty to my profession. Got to do what it takes to make it work. Have to check up and have real communication. I'm sorry, I don't have my glasses. And my words are not big. They talked about my phone one time. My words were kind of big. But I think that I do believe that a marriage renewal or check-in should be necessary. I don't know if I would call it
A renewal. I mean, I like what she said. She was basically saying, because I think a lot of times, and I know just coming from, I've never been married, but being a pastor and marrying yeah. people, my job as the pastor in premarital counseling is to make you fall out of love just for a hot second to pay attention to red flags.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because here's the thing, the misnomer that we have about red flags. Red flags don't always mean run. They mean talk. They're talking points. Okay. So here's the deal. What I think needs to happen is a reality check. You know this, and I've heard you say this as being married before. There are things you go into marriage thinking you're going to get, okay? And you go in committing to something that you think you're going to get, and when you get in there, it's not what you thought.
It doesn't look that way, like, because that translated different than what I, you know
right.
what I mean? Like, oh, I thought you were going right. to fix that. I didn't know you were saying I accepted that.
Right.
Because I said, would you fix it? And you said, yes. I didn't know you weren't going to fix it immediately. I thought it was going to be you doing 10 years. You working on it. I thought that was tomorrow.
So she said, I'm committing in this renewal process. I'm committing to the next step.
To do whatever it takes.
For the next step. I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, because there are certain things in certain seasons that you have to make commitments yes. to that you didn't know you were going to make commitments to.
There were things you stick in, I promise you. And this is not just marriage. I think this is like real core relationships. Mm-hmm. When you are in a real, I call them adult relationship, you find yourself okaying things you would never okay. Mm-hmm. And not because you're weak, but because if I don't okay this, then I'm leaving like everybody else did. Or you get what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. I don't want to okay this. to make this okay. I'm okaying this, and we need to work on how to make this not an issue for us anymore. Mm-hmm. We have that, like I was reading, we have that microwave society. You know, we get our stuff right now, instant gratification, and I believe that spaghetti tastes better, you know, day three. You know what I mean? Like, day one is awesome. Day two is good. But day three?
Season suddenly.
Let me tell you, and that's what it's like. That's the one thing I've learned is even when I'm angry in my friendships, relationships, I've learned now that they're being a reflection for something. Mm-hmm. And I listen. Even if I respond, I'm going to defend myself. Mm-hmm. But I'm in my silent moments, I hear myself. I hear what you said. I listen to you, especially if it's not the first time. And we've reached a certain age where a lot of times the stuff you hear that's happening in your relationship, it's not the first time you heard it.
Right.
And you got to pay attention to that.
Right.
Relationships are simple. Don't do things that make your mate unhappy. I believe that. That is the one thing. I say it all the time. On Judgment Day, we're going to be like, but I didn't ask you. I just simply asked you to do this. But did you mean? No, I meant for you to do.
Just that.
Just love each other. You didn't want me to help them. I didn't ask you to do all that. And I think that's is if your mate does not want you walking out the house without saying goodbye, stop walking out the damn house without saying goodbye.
That's learning your mate. That's, mm-hmm. that's simple. I get it.
You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I feel like you said a few weeks ago, we learn healing this. It could all be so simple.
We'd rather make it hard.
We'd rather make it hard.
And I feel, I don't know. I just feel like, yeah, I would do the marriage renewal if it was about renewing. I wouldn't do it for an option out.
Right.
To opt out.
Okay. Speaking of opting out.
Okay. What you got?
Do you think most relationships last, and I don't even really want to say last, I'm going to say linger. Linger because the woman refused to let the man go that she feel he might straighten up for the next woman?
I think that could be a two-way street.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like here's the thing. Even if that is the case, because I've seen that happen, I know it happens. They'll never do it for you. Mm-hmm. That's the lesson. I'd had to go through this with a friend about 5 years ago. And I had to tell her, like, I know you're putting in a lot of work. I get it. You want to reap your benefits. But people, it's not necessarily who they are when they're with you. It's who you become when you're with them, too. Like, there are two sides to that coin. You can't change habit. Habit requires a lot of work. And if they disappear, come back, you don't get a chance. You go right back. That's the reason why you hear relationships say when they go with their ex, we go right back to where we ended. Faster. Because it's not always who they become when they're with you, but it's also who you become when you're with them. They bring something out of you that may not be healthy.
That's what makes them toxic.
Yep.
So when you start dealing with toxic relationships, you understand that a person that's toxic to you speaks to a place of vulnerability in you.
Yes.
So, yeah, I agree.
So I feel like, yeah, people do that all the time. But I would never do it. I don't ever want... I know that if it doesn't work for me, I'm one of those people where if I'm in, I'm just so all the way in. A friend of mine just said to me last week, and I heard it negatively for the first time that he said it to me. He's been saying it to me for a while. But he said, okay, Las Vegas, knowing when to fold is an art. You got to know. Yeah.
I thought Kenny Rogers as soon as she said
mm-hmm. He said to me, he said, man, when you're into somebody, you are really into them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, yeah. And all this time he had been saying it, I thought it was, you know, he was a little jealous. He envied. And I heard it on the other side as a challenge the first time last week. And he went, when he said it, I said, oh, that's not good. He's like, no, it's not good. But I say it, he's saying, I think you just always bypass it because you want to hear nothing but positive things about your relationships and all this. But when he said it from the outside looking in. He's like you're into him though. Like you're like into him. You need to go back into you. Mm-hmm. And it's not anything I hadn't been doing or working on, but it's one thing, it becomes embarrassing that when you realize somebody else had saw that, you wonder mm-hmm. how many other people, you know what I mean? We're mm-hmm. actually just looking at that going, ah. Mm. What?
I don't think it would be a bunch of other people looking at it. I think he just had a little hateration going on.
No, he's nice. He's a kind friend. Like, married. Like, he's just, it's just different. It's experienced. When he said it, he wasn't going to say it, even when we talked about it. He's like, it's not my place to do that when I could see where you are. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that, as a friend, I'm going to support you. But I'm going to say this. And one day it'll click, and it clicked. And when mm-hmm. it clicked, he probably did mean it once upon a time. But once it really did click, it was like, yeah, I mean, I knew that. Personally, that was something me and God were working on. I didn't know other people saw that. Mm-hmm. And then when you start talking to people, everybody else saw it too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it becomes one of those things where it's not that I don't want, and I think about this even with my ex-husband, it's not that I never wanted him to move on because I didn't want him. And I had to say that to myself when I realized I was more jealous of my ex-husband because his life never altered. It didn't change when we left. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. His life, he could still go out. He could still date. As a mom of a child, I couldn't do that. And so I felt imprisoned, like mm-hmm. I can't move. And you can just move on with your life. And it looks like I'm jealous of her when I'm really jealous of you. I don't care that you got her. I'm jealous that I can't even, you know what I mean? I already know what she getting. She can have you. Mm-hmm. I'm more upset that I can't move like you move. That was a very...
The responsibility that you have versus the mm-hmm. responsibility that he sometimes has.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's how it's just
like that with most relationships. That's why so many, when it comes to a single parent home, there are more single mothers than fathers.
Yeah. And that's why I didn't, when you asked that question, that was the one time I thought about that. That it looked like I was afraid he was going to get right. Because I was. The truth was, I didn't want to stick with him long enough to see if he would get it right with me. Mm-hmm. We had already mm-hmm. did it for 8.5 years. You're not going to get it right with me.
Right.
I want out, and I have to be okay with you moving forward the way you can move forward.
Right. Okay. So I have another question. This is basically a scenario. So the scenario goes a little something like this. You have been dating a woman or man for the past year and a half. You are highly attracted to him or her and can really see yourself being with this person long term or even marriage. This individual has a child from a previous marriage of 12 years. The child is now 13. The individual is very protective of whom he or she brings around the child unless they are serious. The two of you have gotten serious and your partner decides to let you meet the child. To your surprise, the child is a complete nightmare, very disrespectful towards you and the parent. The child seems to have animosity because of the divorce between the other parent. Your partner then tells you that he or she has not been able to keep a serious relationship because of it. Do you stay or go?
Leave.
Bruh.
Is the partner okay with you helping? Because see.
It's kind of hard to help.
It's hard.
It's a little easier for a woman than it is for a man.
You think?
I would think so. Because in any two ways, I try to come in, you know.
It's not
going to happen. You know, you ain't my daddy. You know, that's.
Them little mm-hmm. girls do that too. Them little gals.
Little helpers.
Them. D-E-M do that too.
So that's a tough one.
That's a lot of work. That's work that requires counseling.
Yeah, that would
right now. Yeah. Like that's a good
answer. Because I mean, I wouldn't know how to handle that myself.
Yeah,
you know, because at the end of the day, I'm not the child's father. although I may want to step in and be that type of role to them, you know, that's something that I trusted I would have to gain. But you know, it's kind of hard if that person already has in their mind, which a lot of times that happens when you deal with blended families. You know, the child is wanting the father back or the mother back or whatever the case mm-hmm. may be. And that's what you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's a hard one.
Man, there's this video. I wish I thought about it, where they talk about the blended families coming together. And I love the video because it really is a feel-good video. Mm-hmm. But I feel that when it comes to, as a parent, when my son has, I'm going to call her, like they say, a bonus mom. Mm-hmm. I like her. So even if I dislike her, he's not going to feel that way because I don't really like his daddy, you know. I loved his father, and I married him, but never liked him. So, but I've made that work where he didn't really know that.
That's very important.
Yes.
I can love you, but do I like you?
Ooh, I did not like him. When I say that, I didn't have, you remember I called Sean, I was like, I have not one friend like him, like a male friend, that I felt comfortable calling to get advice as to what this fool was saying and thinking, because all of my friends were like, I don't know what he's talking about, Shy. And it was hard. Like, I didn't like him as a human. Mm-hmm. Not just him, just his humankind, his mankind of him. Mm-hmm. I didn't like him. And that's important. I am a believer. You got to love. And let me tell you, we love everyone. I think it's a God-given gift.
Because you can love someone. You can love a family member and can't stand them. Ooh. I don't want to be around them. I love you. I'll probably show up to your funeral, but I don't like you. I'm not going to come to your house.
If I had a choice on whether or not you would be my first or eighth cousin, you'd be the 10th. You know what I mean?
Right. So my take on this whole situation is, as far as when meeting someone and you know, you're really with them, being that they were together so long, I think that the child would eventually get over it. The child would. But it's just, it would be tough at that point in time, especially if the child is a teen.
13,
it will,
right?
It will, it said the child is now 13. So I think it will be tough at the beginning because they will be fighting against what's going on. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like you talking to him. Blah blah blah. Blah. I don't like you talking to her. Or who is she? She ain't my mama. And you know, it's gonna be a lot of being a teen back and forth, telling the mother or the father what's going on over here. You know, and that could raise problems.
Yeah.
Because being that, of course, the other parent gonna want to know what's going on.
Yeah, and that could get
real. It could get real messy. It could get real messy and nasty. And kids are very messy. Kids are messy.
Yeah.
They're real messy. And it can put a damper on your relationship. My thing is this. Tell that kid he can sit the fuck down because I'm going to live anyway. And this is just how I feel about it. I think that being at that age, they are old enough to understand, hey, look, sit them down. This is where I'm at with it. Now, I know that you might not like what's going on here, but your dad or your mom will never be together again. We don't have any intentions on being together. We are filing for a divorce. We will both still be in your life, but we're not going to be together. So you can get over it.
I think at that age, I can't speak from anything else because I left when my son was one. Because I had to make a decision if this was something I wanted to continue to do with his father in the picture. I didn't want to leave at a certain age because I did not want him to remember. My son has to look at pictures and has to ask questions to even know that we were actually married and cohesive once upon a time. But he knows that we work well together now.
Right.
When you reach a certain age, I do feel like the phone number.
No, I was looking at that too.
And we need to put the number up, you guys. Y'all can call in 936-585-4627. But I looked at how to make that decision and how it would affect my son if I waited. Does that make sense? So at 13, I feel like this. You need help at that point. When you go through a divorce at 13, with a child at 13, 12, 11, 10, any of those ages, I really believe that counseling should have been involved in the beginning process of the divorce, because that kind of sets the child up with the support that they need in order to do what they need to do.
Right, I agree.
So that's a lot to put in, because now you're starting to see how your child really felt. Because they didn't have the proper support. We have to communicate better, man.
So I was looking at this comment by Donald Jennings. He said, I'm in a blended family. Mm-hmm. I had to go through that with my now 14-year-old. Respect boundaries have to be made, and communicating is key. My son is now older and understands. It's a balancing act. I completely agree with that. You got to be able to communicate with your kids when you're doing something, you know.
And that don't mean talk bad. Like, I believe you have to watch those. Don't get me wrong. My ex-husband and I disagree, but that's going to be a text conversation, mm-hmm. or that's going to be a conversation where he's in school and we can carve out time. But even when we were together, we never argued with him in that same space. That was just a natural thing that we agreed to. And I feel like when you don't have that set up, my son right now, if he asked me, if I hugged his dad, my son would be like, ew. Because we're like, almost like, it's ugly. Like, not siblings, mm-hmm. but you know, we cool.
Right, right.
For him.
That's awkward.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. this is weird. Like, no, y'all don't do this. We just, and so mm-hmm. we've made it a point to kind of dab each other like we partners.
Right.
And I feel that when you set that tone, like if you don't, that child needs counseling.
Mm-hmm. And that's another thing too. That's also a teaching moment for that child, because that child has to grow up and have a family of themselves, a family for themselves. So it's good to teach them that, hey, we can still be friends and raise you mm-hmm. and, you know, all of this. We have a caller waiting right now.
Caller, talk to us. Tell us where you're from.
Hey, Sean. Hey, this is Donald Jennings from Houston, Texas.
Hey, what's going on, Donald?
Not much. What's going on, classmate?
Oh, man, it's all good, man. We're just having a good conversation here. Talk to us.
Yeah, definitely a good conversation. My talk is definitely on the blended family. When I went through my first divorce and I remarried, my son had an issue with my now wife. And definite boundaries had to be made on the respect issue.
Right.
And I kind of felt like what one of your speakers said is that I had to sit him down and say, son, this is how it's going to be, and I'm going to need you to understand this. We're still family. You're still my son. We're just a little different now. But you're going to have to respect where I'm at and how I'm treating you. And as he got older and the communication was there between his mother and my now wife, and he understood that we were working all together for him. As he got older, he began to understand that, and that respect issue was instilled, and he is now better with it. He understands that he has a mother, and now he has a stepmother, and that he's benefiting from all of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's a support system all the way around, and it's good that they can start to understand that, because we're not here to hurt you, but all you did was just double up on your support.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did he go through a phase? Did he have a lot of questions?
Yes, he had a lot of questions. Why wasn't his mother and I together? Why did you get with, back then, he said, this new lady? And now he understands. He calls her mother sometimes.
Yeah.
And she definitely calls him son. Mm-hmm. And there's a love that's building now. And there, like I said, there's a bigger village now. He knows he has a bigger village now.
Mm-hmm. Was there a time where he was back and forth between parents, and I don't want to say it like this, but I'm going to just say it because I'm blunt. Messy.
Say it real.
Was he messy? Was he playing both sides of the fence? Like being messy between both parents and starting trouble?
Yes, he tried that.
How did you handle it?
Well, I didn't have to handle it at all. The two mothers handled it.
That's right.
Mm.
And when they found that he was trying to play both sides, they both got into him. His birth mother got into him, and then his stepmother chose, well, his stepmother said, yes, I'm in agreement with her. And the mother said, hey, you can put your hands on him and teach him. He mm-hmm. said, I give you permission.
Mm-hmm.
So and he, like I said, we stood as one force.
That's right.
Right. That's right. That's the big picture.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I've been blessed. I haven't gone through the horror stories that I've heard. I have mothers that we all get along.
Yeah.
And I know that is a strange occurrence, but we all get along for one purpose.
Yep.
And we realize what that purpose is, and we stand on that. Even in our disagreements, it's all about him.
Yep.
That's right. That's real grown stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It is.
And you know what's crazy about it? He said it's a strange occurrence, but actually that's how it's supposed to be. It's actually not strange. We make it messed up by the things that we do in relationships when we start dating, you know, other people and we have kids involved. That's actually how it's supposed to be. That's normal. That's actually supposed to be the norm. But we make it so bad to where it's strange when we are doing the norm.
Yes,
I agree completely with you. It shouldn't be a problem as long as. But communication is so much a key to it.
Right. Totally agree.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much for calling us, Donald. Great words.
Hey, I enjoy your program.
Well, thank you so much.
Appreciate your teammate.
Yeah, I think that it's kind of like I saw this post from you a while back, and it said, you know, when everyone sees the reward and see where you are, they don't see all the work behind it. And even when I think about my family dynamic, I sometimes have to watch myself because I want people to hurry up and get there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I want you to, it can work, I promise you. And then I have to remind myself, like, you do remember, like, y'all went in a couple of years where it was just only text and emails. And, like, it didn't start off like this. You didn't completely agree with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that when we literally, like I said, there was a moment where I had to look and go, I'm not jealous of her. I'm jealous of you. And I don't even want you back. So let's focus on him. And I promise you, once we refocus, everybody, it literally, if you need me to get him, I got him. If you need me to take him to the doctor, I can take him. I'll take tomorrow off if you take today off. Who are you? What you want? You know what I mean? Like, and you kind of go into it. And then as consistency,
mm-hmm.
as it stays consistent and it becomes one of those things where we stand as one, then I'm like, okay, then I'm really not worried about too many things that come in this family dynamic. This person... Counseling, if they want to make it work, counseling is going to be the first place.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. that's a
that's
must.
The best thing. I think all of y'all really, really, really need to even y'all stubborn ass folks out there in relationships
yes.
that feel like you don't need nobody to tell you anything. Try counseling at least one or two times
yeah.
with the person that you're with. If you feel like you love them and you still want to be with them, try counseling. Hell, take your kids too.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Try counseling. Because let me tell you something. What you fail to realize is this is not about just y'all two,
yep.
especially if you have kids involved. It's more, even more so about the kids and not y'all because they're watching what's going on. You can hide and sneak and argue all you want, but they're going to get to a point to where they're old enough to understand that your energy is off. Y'all walking around looking real pissy with one another. You know when your mama mad and you know when your daddy mad. I mean, goddamn, they know it. They feel it. They understand. They may not say anything, but they can know when you got tension in the house.
Yep.
A newborn baby can tell when his mom is upset. They keep crying and crying and crying and crying and don't even know anything about relationships. So if you think for 1 minute your
energy.
Kids don't know what's going on in the house, they do.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need to go to counseling with one another and then take the kids the next time, do that. Try counseling. Just try it. It doesn't hurt. Try counseling because you're hurting the kids. And then as they grow older, this is what you're teaching them. And this is how they are going to respond when they get older. So, you know, try something and not just, you know, try a professional.
Yes. Not your homie.
Mm-hmm.
Not your homie.
The
because they might be messed up
biased.
Too. They probably got a bad, you know, upbringing. And they might not, like you said, they might not be. They're going to take your side. This is your friend.
Yeah.
You know?
And you're going to feel that way even if, here's the thing, you would feel that way even mm-hmm. if they are not taking that side. It's
right.
just best to have
unbiased.
Yes, an unbiased person sitting in the center of that.
Someone that hasn't met either one of, and don't even go get a counselor that's a friend of yours, that's a psychologist or all of this. Don't even go get a friend that does
They're not even supposed to do that. Right. So if they say yeah, you say no.
Right. Ask me, do you have a colleague you can recommend? Or hell, just go and flip the Rolodex.
Here's
the thing. And stop. Close your eyes and just stop. Put your finger on it. And just find one. Look at the reviews and see and go like that. Don't get friends, family members, mom, dad, nobody. No. Find someone that's going to be completely biased with unbiased with your situation.
And here's the other thing about that. When you go through that process, they have to call you. It's not like you're going to get their receptionist. Mm-hmm. They have to talk to you. You have to find... Finding the right person is literally another relationship. Mm-hmm. And you're forming another relationship. And you need to figure out what your big picture is going to be. And when they call you, you need to figure out if this is someone you vibe with. Do you feel comfortable with them? I recently did the video counseling where they can just come on your phone and you're sitting at home. And, I need to go into the space. I mean it was good. It was still good. It just took me a little longer. But there's something about being in that space away from home.
Energy.
And actually having someone sit right here. And she did an awesome job. She never took her eyes off me, but I took mine off her because everything else catches my attention. And my mind is everywhere. But when you get in that space, you're kind of like, and it's worth the investment. I get it. It is expensive. But your life is like priceless. Mm-hmm. Your happiness is priceless.
Right.
And it's worth it. We spend money on a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you make it a priority, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. And if you want that particular situation, something similar to that, that has to come inside of the actual bills. That has to become a new bill.
Yeah, that counseling should go hand in hand with everything when it comes down to your health. You getting health insurance, life insurance. Stop setting up them damn GoFundMe accounts. And you know, when you got to bury somebody, like, that should be your priority. Get your kids, go to counseling. That your health, your mental health, your physical health, your take care of everything that you and everybody that's attached to you as far as family that you're in the house with. Like, take care of that stuff. And That's important.
I have to say hello. I don't even know if she's still on, but Mrs. Swenson signed in, and Booker T. Washington peeps already know, like, I love me some Patty Swenson. I do. I love her. And I'm so happy. She literally has been, me and my best friends, she's literally the voice we hear all the time that pushes us to stay positive, to go for what we want. And she's in high school. And she sticks right, like, literally, when I saw her in church recently, my friend sent, like, this long text, tell her she has changed my life forever. And I love her, and I am so happy to see her name come on here.
That's going to be Sean. I know his students still keep up with him. But we're running out of time, y'all. I just want to take this time to say goodbye to all my family, MICKYMOUSC.
MIC, see you later.
Yeah. So, Shy, what do you have going on? Your business has started. How is
it
that going?
It is. My business is going really well. It's good. We just started implementing microblading into the spot. So it's exciting. It's growing.
Tell them where to find you.
I am in South Houston. I'm in several places, but right now you can mainly catch me in South Houston, 613 South Allen, Genoa. I know it's far, but it's so worth it, and it's so fun, and it's super cute.
Sean, what you got?
You know where you can meet me every Sunday morning, House of the Lord Church. It is located at 8611 Daffodil Street. If you're familiar with Houston, Texas, it is in the Galleria area off of Dunnville in between Richmond and West Park. Service begins at 10:30. I'll also be ministering this Sunday afternoon at Gateway Community Church. Pastors Brian and Rolanda Watson, I'll be preaching for them on Sunday afternoon. So you can find me at one of those two places this weekend.
Okay. Well, there's a couple of places you can find me. One is Amazon Prime. I want to say thank you to everybody for all of your support that has been watching the movie, The Foreign Exchange Student. For those of you that has not seen it, go on Amazon Prime. It's there. I've been getting a lot of compliments.
I'm watching it tonight.
I've been getting a lot of compliments and DMs and inboxes from a lot of different people I don't even know. And it was like, oh, I just saw you and I thought that was you and this and that. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. I still have more projects to come. I'm working and filming right now. Also, you can catch me at Rodney F. Byrd Funeral Directors. I am funeral directing and embalming there. So if you have a family member that passes, holler at me.
Stab them, we grab them.
You stab them, we grab them. Also, I'm also looking for someone that can train my son. He wants to box. And he's getting ready to play football this year. But I need professionals. I don't want just anybody.
No homies.
Yeah. But thank you very much for kicking it with us.
Good night.
It was really, really good. Good night.
We'll see y'all next time. Peace.